Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello, and welcome to the Wishbone Podcast, brought to you in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And, John, we didn't have a game this week, but we still have lots to talk about. So I think we ought to just roll right on into it. We got some good questions, I think, that have come in this week. We've got some actually very interesting games that happened on Saturday while we didn't have to sweat, you know, worrying about Auburn. And we got some interesting games coming up, including, of course, the Ole Miss game that we'll dissect pretty thoroughly in a little while. So, first, let's see. What kind of announcements do we have?
Well, the first thing is, you know, still happy to be on the War Eagle Radio Network. I'm enjoying that app a lot. I drive to work in the morning. I click it and pick out a podcast that I haven't listened to yet and listen to it on my commute to work, and I really enjoy that. And the other part of that is that this podcast on iTunes and through the War Eagle Reader is doing great. We have a hosting network called Podbeam, and they're sending us warning messages because so many people are downloading.
Yeah, that kind of blew my mind when I got that email probably Wednesday or so. They're saying, warning, your account will be suspended. And I'm immediately like, oh my gosh, what have we done? And they said, you're using up too much bandwidth. You have too many people listening to your show. And I'm thinking, how terrible. That's a tragedy. So, and the thing about it is that just counts iTunes and War Eagle Reader. That doesn't count the War Eagle Sports Radio Network because they use a completely different feed. I give them a separate feed of the show every week. And so just people going on iTunes and just people going to the War Eagle Reader site and listening is really, the numbers are way up this fall. Obviously football season, everybody's excited about Gus. I don't, you know, some of it's maybe us. We can be a little egotistical, but I think, you know, a whole lot of it is the team doing well and Gus, and people are excited, and that's great. So I'm really excited. I hope we get suspended, and that way I'll have to figure out, you know, what to do to boost our bandwidth or something. But we'll see how that goes. I'd rather have this problem than the opposite problem. Put it that way.
That's right. So thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and I also think that listening to some of those shows, that we suffer from a lack of people with wacky nicknames hosting. Because I noticed that, like, the other shows all have at least one co-host with a wacky nickname. And we're kind of boring. What do you think?
We're fine.
I could be Van Allen Plexico, and you could be, like, Tigerific.
I'm good.
The Tiger is good.
I'm good.
This is John, the Tiger is good Ringer. All right.
I'm fine.
We're going to get shelled on Twitter now. I always do this. I always get us in trouble. Okay. Well, we have got some questions in this week. I'm very excited. Why don't we dig into the mailbox? I wish I had some kind of a sound effect for that, but I just don't feel like staying up till 1 a.m. doing audio drops tonight. So what have we got in our mailbox this week?
We got a lot of good reader questions this week. We appreciate everybody who got back to us with good questions, most through Twitter. And if you need to send questions at any point, if you think of a good question during the week and you don't want to wait till we ask for them, you could just tweet directly at AU Wishbone, and we'll be happy to answer it the next time we get a chance.
Yep.
So I'm going to just throw these out here to Van, and you just fire away when you're ready. Okay. All right, the first question comes from James Jones.
Hey, James. He's back.
One of our regular question answers. And he asked, who are your, you know, at this point in the season, who are your offensive and defensive MVPs?
Wow. I mean, on both sides of the ball, I guess on defense, we've had one SEC player of the week, and I suspect that's your choice too, right?
Therese?
Yeah, I mean he's the only one that, like, you know, really took over a game to a certain degree and affected the outcome positively on defense that strongly? Who else would you say besides him, since I think you and I were both leaning toward him?
Well, that's who James said. I wanted to give him credit for that. The other people, I think, Montrevious Adams has played well. Gabe Wright's played well at times, a defensive tackle. And then when he's been in the game, when he's been healthy, you know.
Oh, Chris Davis.
Chris Davis.
Yeah.
I felt like the first two games,
yeah,
he was the best defensive player in the field.
Yeah.
But you can't give him the MVP because he missed the other two games, and two games he would have made a difference in. It's not his fault he's hurt, but, I mean, we need him back for this defense to be where it can be, the best it can be. So, probably in terms of cumulative numbers, you have to say 3Z.
Well, on offense, the problem is that we really sort of need it to be Nick Marshall, and that is because we are running a running back by committee approach right now. And if you're running a running back by committee approach, then by definition, you need all three to be contributing somewhat equally rather than one of them dominating. Whereas on the other hand, there's only one Nick Marshall. So, mm-hmm. And if the passing game is working at all, he's the man. You know, he's got it, especially, again, we're running kind of receiver by committee. There's no Darvin Adams standing up. There's no Emory Blake. And so, given that Marshall is a singular presence at that position doing what he does, we need it to be him. And the fact that I'm not ready to say it's him is a problem, I think. Does that make any sense at all?
Sure. I mean, he clearly can play better. I think at this point, to me, you need to say it's Mason, maybe.
Well, that
just because.
Yeah, but
I think he's been consistent.
Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, yeah, he's had two really good games, right? And then two kind of okay. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got our picks, but they're not, you know, it's not Cam Newton 2010 yet.
No, I mean, those could swing wildly between now and the end of the season.
Right, I think that sums it up pretty well. All right, what else?
All right, so that was our first question. And I wanted to say, in response to his own question, James said he thought Mason and Therese.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Jonathan Harris, who's at AU Zoom, who's asked a few questions. And he said, hopefully we can use the bye week to get players healthy. He said, do you think we can contain Bo Wallace and Scott this weekend? Mm-hmm. Jeff Scott.
Hmm.
He said, do you think we can contain him? And will we play more man-to-man defense in the secondary?
Well, you know, Alabama didn't really contain him. They just sort of waited until they got down inside the red zone and then kind of let them stymie themselves. So it concerns me that – well, let me just put it this way, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, but it concerns me that Ole Miss played as well as they did against Alabama on both sides of the ball. So can we contain Wallace and Scott? Well, you can't stop them. You can only hope to contain them, maybe is the phrase there. So, yeah, I mean, I think we can, but it certainly concerns me.
I would agree with that. We'll talk more about this game in a minute, though, with some real thoughts.
Okay.
Our next question comes from a guy you may have heard of at Van Allen Plexico.
Hey, yeah, that's a good. I like that guy.
And his question is, after this weekend's result, should Auburn be less afraid of Texas A&M and more afraid of Arkansas?
Yeah, that guy's stupid. I wouldn't pay any attention to him. Well, I mean, we're going to talk about the Texas A&M Arkansas game a little bit too, but I guess my point there in saying that is simply that the fact that it was a game, right? People had been saying, you know, oh, Texas A&M was almost good enough to beat Alabama, and really just a few fluky things caused them to lose, and they scored all those points in Alabama. And on the other hand, Arkansas is terrible. Oh, they lost to Rutgers, you know. And then I tuned in that game, and it was a contest. I mean, it was like Auburn LSU, but one score closer and with more scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I say yes to both.
I'd say yes to both too. I think Texas A&M's defense is really weak. I think it's much worse than last year. I think if Auburn's offense continues to progress, we can really score points on them.
Yes.
But I think Arkansas is, you know, we talked about the two road games and which ones we felt better about. I think Arkansas is clearly better than Tennessee right now. They're more dangerous. And the thing in this game this last week was getting Brandon Allen back made a huge difference for them. He didn't play, I don't believe, at all against Rutgers or the game before that. And he made a big difference in their offense.
He sure did, right. Yeah, I know. It's funny because it seems like we've kind of had our eye, at least I have, and we've talked about this, had my eye on Arkansas and Tennessee all season. I've kept one eye on them all along because we know that our season really comes down to Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Tennessee. And because of that, unless something, you know, goes spectacularly good, and because of that, I've kind of kept an eye on these teams, and it seems like every other week my opinion of Tennessee and Arkansas flip-flops.
My opinion of Tennessee is kind of going in one direction. So.
And it ain't a good direction.
No, it's not. They are not good. All right. We'll come back to that in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll talk some more about that.
Absolutely.
All right. Our next question comes from Emily Rios. Mm-hmm. And she asks, have your thoughts changed about Auburn's chances versus Ole Miss, Arkansas,
hey.
Tennessee, UGA, Texas A&M? It's so familiar. But also, like, here's the games we haven't touched on. Well, have your thoughts changed about Auburn's chance to win any of those games to this point in the year? Specifically after last weekend and what you said?
Right. I'm going to run through them real fast and just tell you. My feelings of our chance versus each one of these. Our chances versus Ole Miss, I feel worse than I did a week ago. Not a lot worse, but just, eh. Our chances versus Arkansas, slightly worse. Our chances versus Tennessee, better. Our chances versus Georgia, honestly, I mean, what they did to LSU, but I feel like we could have beaten LSU if things had kind of bounced slightly differently, i.e. we hadn't played them in a monsoon in Outer Mongolia. And so Georgia, I think, about the same, with maybe a 1%, believe it or not, about a 1% more feeling that we can beat them. But only about one. And then Texas A&M, yeah, like you said, I mean, you summed it up pretty well. Their defense is what it is, and that gives us a chance, even though they're going to score, you know, 50 on us on a bad day for them. So what about you?
That's right. No, I think that's about right. I mean, I think Georgia and LSU were very equal teams.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the first few minutes of the LSU game got away from us, and that's something that Auburn can't let happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think Georgia's another one of those teams. They're not as good as LSU was on defense. I think we'll be able to move the ball on them. And I think Texas A&M is just bad on defense. I think we'll be able to score points on them. Tennessee, I feel good about. I mean, over the last couple weeks, I felt better about that. It's going to be tough because it's a road game. But they are not good on offense.
Yeah.
If Auburn can stop the run in that game, we're going to be in good shape. Mm-hmm. So.
Well.
All right. Our next question comes from AU Tiger Bloggin. Mm-hmm. Has a good blog. And he asks, what do you want to see going forward out of this team? So what do you want to see from now till the end of the year? What do you want?
What do I want to see going forward out of this team? Victory. Victory at all costs.
No.
We will fight them in Jordan Hare. Yeah. We will fight them in Neyland Stadium. We will never surrender. I mean, obviously, steady improvement. I want to see Nick Marshall become the best quarterback he can be, and I think that's possible, and I think he's still got a good bit of room for improvement. What else do I want to see from this team? I'd like to see a linebacking core that acts like it knows what it's doing. And I'd like to see a receiver or two step up and become solid SEC contributor receivers.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a receiver that has a really good connection with Nick Marshall on third down that becomes kind of the go-to. It's, you know, it's third and six. You got to get a first down. This guy can get open 7 yards down the field and make the catch.
That would make the difference in the season right there. Because yeah. a few extra first downs in some of those key games will absolutely make the difference.
I want to see in these games, especially the games, you know, that we feel like Auburn has a real chance to win. I want to see the healthy entire defense on the field, all of them at one time, which we haven't seen yet.
That's true.
There's not been a game where we had all our resources out there. And I really think if everybody's out there and they're healthy and they're playing as well as they can, the defense, you know, will be better, will show better than it did. And so I think that's something I really want to see. And the biggest thing is I want to see, you know, the team continue to improve, the little things get better. I think the team's well coached. I think you can see that during the games, the way they improve during the games. And I think over the course of the season, they'll get better. And that's what I want to see.
You know, I have to agree. From before the season even started, I have felt like our coaches have been having to coach around injuries. We talked about this last week, that it really has become a big problem of having so many key players out. And as we get one back, we lose another. And we get another back, we lose another. And like you say, we just haven't had a complete team on the field at any point this season. And it's hard to be to get a true evaluation of these coaches and this team when it's never actually the real quote unquote team that's playing.
That's
right. It's very frustrating. So yeah.
But to me, some of it is the evaluation of the coaches is they're getting the backups ready to play and prepared and they're doing okay. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, down the road, it's nice that these other players have gotten to play more than you expected, but. You know, you would kind of like to see the best players playing, I guess, at least most of the time in the big game. So,
that's right.
Well, I got to go ahead.
We got one more question tonight.
Oh, okay.
Another question from Jonathan Harris, who's at AU Zoom on Twitter,
okay.
And it's kind of a two-parter. The first is, does the bye week help or hurt us? And then, does Ole Miss getting beaten at Bama, you know, help or hurt us?
Yeah, the bye week certainly helped us because coming out of, you know, one of the Death Valleys, that's always a game where Auburn gets beat up. LSU gets beat up too. And you know, I mean, it's kind of trite to say it, but yeah, they needed the rest. The coaches, I was very intrigued that Gus at one point this week said that he had spent like a whole bunch of time just looking at us. He said usually at that point in the week, he's looking entirely at the other team. But instead, he got to look at just what we were doing. And I think at the one-third mark of the season, that's a really good time because you've got enough material under your belt now to make a decent evaluation, but you've still got two-thirds of the season ahead to put it into action, put it into effect.
I agree 100% on that. I think it's a perfect time for a bye week for us because the team physically was getting beat up and they needed time to get healthy, get players back. And then also I really think, you know, this group of coaches, this group of players hadn't been together very long. This gives the coaches a chance to sit in and look at the film and be sure what everybody's doing, change things if they need to, and have enough practices to work those things out.
Yeah.
And to correct the problems. I think they could kind of work on themselves. Here's what we're doing wrong in our plays and our sets. And then, the Ole Miss game is a big game. We've talked about it being kind of a game that could go one way or the other. And so that gives them extra time to rest and prepare, focus on that one opponent to be prepared for that.
Let me refine the second part of that question a little bit for you. Is Auburn better off with Ole Miss having lost rather than Ole Miss coming in with a big head? And to further refine it, to further kind of narrow that question down, are we getting an Ole Miss with a chip on its shoulder wanting to punch somebody in the mouth? Or are we getting an Ole Miss that's lost a little bit of its confidence because it didn't even score on Alabama?
That's a good question. I mean, one of the best case scenarios would obviously the overall best case scenario would have been if Ole Miss won the game, because number one, then Alabama would have lost, and that's always a good thing. And then number two, Ole Miss would have gone back and celebrated all week, and everybody would have been telling them how they were the greatest team in the history of civilization. Mm-hmm. And then they would have come in Auburn with the big fat head, not having focused and practiced all week, and we would have had a real that would have helped our chances to beat them.
Yes,
but this is the other side. I think it's always better to play SEC teams the week after they play Alabama or LSU.
Yeah.
Because you get that kind of gut punch theory thing where they've been beat up physically, pounded on the lines, and it's tough for players to bounce back from that. The Auburn players will be better rested, and the Ole Miss players, you know, are having to travel and after getting beat up last week by Alabama. So I think it's an advantage, a big advantage for Auburn. And I think you're right. There may be some confidence issues. I mean, they're a young team with a lot of talent, and I'm sure they think they can solve all their problems against Auburn. But I think, failing to score at all in a big TV game like that may have put some questions in their mind.
Yeah. Right. I hope that's the way it goes. I hope they don't just come in, you know, seeing red and smelling blood. I hope that they're like, oh, maybe we're not, a competitive SEC team. Oh, no. I hope that's the effect that it has.
Well, I mean, the one thing you think, well, that was our last question. Are we ready to jump right into the Ole Miss game?
Well,
then?
First, let me say you are listening to the Wishbone Podcast with Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network and the WarEagleReader.com. Okay, so what's our next area of interest?
Well, thank you to everybody who submitted questions. They were excellent. We appreciate it. The one thing was we're going to talk about what are your thoughts about this team coming out of the bye week? You know, what are the things that you – the other things that we haven't talked about so far that you specifically wanted them to work on or fix, and you feel like it's important to get done?
Well, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I mean, one of them is obvious, that turnovers, trying to eliminate the turnovers on offense, yeah. You know, practicing ball security. Anytime they're running around with the ball, you know, keep it close and tied up and do all the kind of drills they can or try to eliminate those. Because, you know, if you're the – you know, if you're Oregon or whoever, you can turn the ball over and you'll be okay. But this Auburn team isn't good enough to beat good teams while losing the turnover battle.
No.
They've done a great job not committing penalties. Mm-hmm. I think we have very few penalties, and I think that's really impressive. But they've got to be better about not turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. They can't make stupid turnovers. They're just not going to win. They're just not that good. So that's something they needed to work on. And the other thing is the passing game. Even with the rain and stuff last week, the passing game is still hit or miss. The plays are there, guys are open, and it's either the receiver and Marshall aren't in sync or Marshall just misses them sometimes. And some of it is just Marshall just misses them.
Yeah.
So I think there is real potential there in the passing game for it to get much better. And I think that's something I'm sure they worked on.
Well, you know, it really helps you realize when you look back at what our previous quarterbacks under Gus were able to do. There's so many moving parts, as it's been said many times, in this offense. And there's also a lot of timing and, everybody has to be on the same page and it has to mesh. And seeing Marshall kind of overthrow receivers and miss receivers and everything, I think he's getting better. I think he's settled down a little bit. He's not like blowing a cannonball shot off of a guy 5 feet away anymore. Mm-hmm. Seems to have gotten a little better at that, obviously. And the other thing that's encouraging, I may have mentioned this before, but the thing that's really encouraging to me is everywhere that I see it, everywhere that I see him talked about as a quarterback, they always seem to stress that he's very self-critical and that he takes coaching very well and he wants to improve. And, you know, I mean, that only goes as far as it goes, but it's certainly better than the alternative in each one of those categories. So I just feel pretty good about that. So, the passing game has just got to be there because we don't have an LSU-style power game, really. I mean, we've got a shadow of it. We've got Cameron Artis Payne, who on a good day in the right situation can kind of resemble LSU's Hill, kind of. And Georgia did a job on him, by the way. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And Trey Mason has his own way, his own method of getting through a defensive line and linebackers and everything. But you've got to have the passing game to set up the run as much as you have to have the run to set up the passing game. We've got the run. It's just got to start clicking. And it's got to.
And here's the other thing. This isn't the SEC of like 2008, 2008, 2009, you know, when the, you know, or even 2 years ago, 3 years, you know, 2011 with the 6-3 game or whatever. I mean, the SEC in this season, 2013, I mean, is the Alabama-Texas A&M game, the Georgia-LSU game? You know, we're talking about 40-35 kind of
games. It looks like the Big 12.
Well, it is. And it's not, you know, the only team in the SEC that's playing old school SEC defense is Florida.
Yeah.
Everybody else is, you know, there's some other defenses that are okay. You know, Alabama's defense is pretty good. LSU's defense is not bad. But Florida is the only team that's playing defense like that. They were playing at SEC a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And Auburn can compete in those shootouts if the passing game can pick it up a notch.
Right. That's a very good point. Yeah. What do you think about the turnover situation? I mean, a good bit of it has been Marshall put in a situation where, you know, I don't know how to say it exactly. Not that he was forced into making turnovers, but he was put in situations where I think the possibility of a turnover became more likely.
You're saying he had to be more aggressive.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's in English. Thank you.
I just think it is what it is. You can't. I mean, Mason's fumbled the ball too. You can't do that. Marshall had the one fumble,
yeah,
one game where he was kind of carrying the ball carelessly. You can't do that stuff and win.
Right.
You got to be better about it. So I think it's something they got to work on.
Yeah. Do you think the team has gotten more hard nosed, as Pat Dye would say, more tough and physical than last year?
Well, I mean, that's yes, but that's not saying much. I mean, they got a long way to go,
yeah,
to approach, you know, the Pat Dye teams or the you know, 2004 to 2006 Tuberville teams.
You know, so. And I wanted to say that. I'm glad this kind of came up organically here, because it's something I've been thinking about for a few days, is that, you know, we went through a down period there at the end of Tuberville. It was really only about a year. The 2007 had some things happen, then 2008 was bad. And we got enamored, certainly I did, with Gus's offense and with all the fireworks and everything. And I love it and wouldn't trade it. But I do kind of think back occasionally to the Auburn teams of the 80s in particular. And I guess that era may be gone entirely, although Alabama and LSU certainly try to cling to it as much as they can in some ways. But those teams, and, you know, the passing game for the most part was fairly primitive on those teams. Compared to nowadays, it wasn't as sophisticated in a lot of ways, but those teams just had a toughness about them. You know, other teams were not thrilled to have to get in the stadium with them and bang around for 3 hours.
Well, the team that, you know, is not an SEC team. The team that does that now is Stanford.
Yes.
I mean, Stanford is, you know, if not the best coach team in the country, they're in the top five, and they are super physical. I love to watch them play football on both sides of the ball, and a lot of it is just attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to get some really talented physical guys who, you know, when they get in this, you know, the other team is scared with these guys are on defense. They're like, I don't want that guy hitting me. And so some of that is attitude, and some of it is players. So.
And that's why, to me, one of the absolute most fascinating matchups the last several years has been Oregon-Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is really like two worlds colliding. And I guess at least as often as not, Stanford's world, which is a Stone Age primitive world where the players say a lot, has done very well against Space Age Teflon coated Oregon, you know. So that has been very instructive and very interesting to see those two approaches clash out there on the West Coast in a laboratory.
But I think I'm with you that if Auburn could take half of the toughness that Stanford displays and absorb into their football team tomorrow, I'd be delighted.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Moving on, looking ahead to Ole Miss.
Oh, boy.
What did you think about them in the Alabama game? What were your impressions? They didn't score any points, but the defense, especially the Ole Miss defense in the first half, was really good. I mean, they held Alabama to less than 40 yards rushing in the first half, and eventually they kind of wore down. But the offense couldn't get any points. What did you think?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I watching that game, I mean, it was 25-0. Mm-hmm. But if you had told me that the final score of that game was like 17-16, I would have been like, oh, okay. I was shocked at the final score, considering that it looked to me like Ole Miss's defense was having its way with Alabama most of the game. I didn't get to watch every play, so I don't mm-hmm. know exactly how Alabama scored. I saw them getting some field goals, and that seemed like that was about what I would expect, how the game was going. I also know that Ole Miss got down inside Alabama's red zone several times and didn't go for a field goal. They kept trying to score touchdowns, and they never did.
Yeah, they were in the red zone twice, and they were 0-for-2. And a couple other times they crossed, you know, midfield, and a few other times they crossed midfield and got nothing. So
yeah, but they looked really good. I mean, it could just be one of those things where Alabama was on a mission. I think hadn't Bo Wallace said some things that got him fired up or something, and then
yeah, but also I think Alabama looked bad the last couple of weeks. I mean, the Texas A&M game had been. You know, their defense got shredded, and then Colorado State, it was a pretty sloppy hangover kind of game. And I think that, you know, they wanted to come out and play better. So,
yeah, so how do you evaluate the Ole Miss that we saw against Alabama? I mean, do you not agree that they seemed better than 0-25?
Yes. No, I mean, the game was much more competitive than that.
Yeah.
I mean, they hung around in the game. They could easily have, you know, it could easily have been a one score kind of game.
Yeah.
But the other side is it wasn't. They're not, you know, I think there was a lot of thought that maybe this is the year Ole Miss steps up and plays with the, you know, the top teams, SEC. And I don't think this, maybe it's not the case. They're not quite ready for prime time yet. They got a lot of good talent, a lot of good young talent. They're starting like five or six freshmen that are just excellent. And they have two big receivers going to cause a problem for Auburn, like the two LSU guys did. Scott's a little bitty running back. Mm-hmm. He's hard to find. Mm-hmm. But you remember last year, this was the game where, you know, Auburn was in this game.
Oh, yeah.
And hung around in this game and probably should have won this game, even as terrible as Auburn played Absolutely. In 2012 in most games. They had a real chance to win this game.
John, I had it recorded, and mm-hmm. I had pretty much put it all out of my mind. And so, like, a couple of months ago, I went back. I was going to delete the games from last mm-hmm. year for obvious reasons. And I fast-forwarded through some of them just to kind of make sure they were as bad as I remembered, you know. And I was fast-forwarding, kind of watching, you know, through the Ole Miss game, and I remembered that the score was pretty awful in Ole Miss's favor. And I kept fast forwarding, and it was like 14-14, and it was like 21-21 or 21-14, or, you know, it was never horrendous. And I kept fast forwarding, thinking, well, any second now is where Ole Miss pulls away. And it was like the last 2 minutes of the game or something, wasn't it? I mean, it was really late that it had any separation at all.
That's right. And it was over there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think. It's a big, you know, we hung around with them last year. So, I mean, those two teams were relatively physically equal, and Auburn was playing really poorly. I think Ole Miss has definitely gotten more talented since then, but I think Auburn has too. I think Auburn has more talent than it did on last year's team. And I think Auburn is 1,000 times better coached than last year.
Well, sure.
I think Ole Miss has been in their system a year longer. The coach has been there a year longer, and that gives them a little bit of advantage of being able to, you know, do some more things. And I think it's, you know, they have a lot of talent on offense. I think they're going to – I mean, I think Auburn's defense can play better, but I think Ole Miss is going to come out and move the ball and score points on them, especially after last week.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a burr in their saddle, so to speak, and really want to throw the playbook out there and open it up against us. Because you got to think that Ole Miss looks at this game – as one that they really need. It's one that can give them, you know, a bowl or a better bowl. You know, you got to think that when they look at their schedule and they see they see LSU on there still and Arkansas on there still.
Well, after they play us,
mm-hmm.
Texas A&M home,
mm-hmm.
LSU home,
mm-hmm.
you know, Idaho at home, Arkansas at home, mm-hmm. Troy at home, Missouri at home. I mean, this is it in terms of like the only road game they have left after this is at Mississippi State.
That's a win.
So, I mean, they got to think we go this, we'll be home the rest of the year, other than that state game, other than the Egg Bowl, and we'll be playing, you know, we could take the momentum. But they know they got to play A&M and LSU the 2 weeks after this. They can't afford to lose to us. So I think you're right. They're going to come out, you know, kind of shooting everything they can. I think we're playing Alabama may catch up to them is with the Ole Miss defense in the second half. I think if Auburn can run the ball and continue to try to run the ball and keep trying to run the ball, even if we're not having a lot of success, just keep pounding on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the second half of the game, the cumulative wear from that and from the Alabama game may get to them, and we may start to rip off some big chunks of yardage.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You know, I got to, like, say, taking a shot. I got to take a shot at the state of Mississippi right quick. This should be fun. you just give up and throw the towel in immediately. All right. Now, to take a page out of Les Nessman's playbook from WKRP, you know, John, I feel like the nickname of a state's intrastate rivalry says a lot about the teams. The Auburn-Alabama, it says a lot about the character of the teams, the nickname of the rivalry. Of course, Auburn and Alabama's is called the Iron Bowl. What's the Mississippi game called?
The Egg Bowl.
Okay. I'm sorry. Never mind. Let's change the subject. My last thought about sort of the Ole Miss game is that, Lord, I hope we can find a way to win it, because I really do think that, you know, remember, this is the game we had probably our, and it wasn't even a big disagreement, but probably our biggest difference of opinion back in our preview, when I said, well, I think we can win it, and you were like, well, we may not or probably won't or whatever. We were leaning each way, right? And
yeah.
And so clearly that puts – I think this is the watershed point of the season. It's the one that can really go either way. And it would be such a big win. I think it'd be even bigger in some ways than the Mississippi State win, because they're ranked, right? And they beat Texas pretty solidly in Austin. And yep. Mississippi State hasn't done that. So, I'm doing like you're saying. I'm looking around for evidence. I'm looking around for justifications for my feelings. I look back at last year. Like you pointed out, we did play really well most of that game, even as bad as we were last year. I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to be a fairly close game, and I think maybe that big Jordan-Hare Stadium crowd can pull us through. Do we know yet the time of the game? Are we still waiting on?
No, it's going to be a night game, ESPNU.
No.
7, I think.
Man. So you mean if Ole Miss had beaten Alabama, it would be the 2:30 CBS game, right?
Maybe. I mean,
what's the other one coming up? Georgia-Tennessee, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, Georgia-Tennessee's got that.
Yeah, so. All right. I don't know. I feel kind of good about it. Oh, I you know what? It's a night game. So it's Saturday night, probably about 6:30, you say?
6 Central, 7 Eastern on ESPNU. 6
Central. I'm going to be at Archon, and I'm going to have to look at my schedule. I may be, like, emceeing Starship Smackdown during that period, which will make me scream. But I'll have my little watch. At least, you know, the one good thing about it not being on CBS is if it's on ESPN, I can watch it on my phone. So with that Watch ESPN app, which is awesome. So
it's excellent. Yeah, very handy.
Very, very handy. Yeah, I was aggravated because I was at a book show this past Saturday, and I was trying to watch various games. And the one I was trying to get, I guess it was LSU Georgia, was on CBS. It's like the one thing I don't have an app for is CBS. So I was aggravated. But anyway, okay, you had another topic you wanted to kind of go into separate from this first, right?
Well, I think one of the things we've talked about over the year, just kind of here and there, is you and I both went back to campus this year for a home game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been back a few times over the years. I mean, we've been to many games at Auburn, and we want to talk about just our thoughts about the tailgating scene and what, you know, what it seems like at Auburn versus how it has been before, and the changes to it, and what we thought about that.
Well, first I just got to say that I was astonished at the campus, because the last time I was on the Auburn campus was the 2007 Iron Bowl, the last of the 6 wins by Tuberville.
You've seen a lot of construction.
I got to tell you, more than anything, yeah, there's a lot of construction. No kidding. We have a new student union building, which has a Chick-fil-A in it, which I ate at. It's a far cry from the old Foy that I spent a lot of time in my day. But the thing that really blew my mind, because I ended up parking right off on the grass off the side of Wire Road, right down below, I guess, Samford or whatever, like down around where the there's buildings there now, but it used to be the intramural softball fields and everything. So I parked down there and we walked up the hill, up Wire Road, up the hill, and kind of hung a right, you know, to pass the old Coliseum and all that. And I was shocked at that gargantuan, looks like the Smithsonian building that's brand new that takes up like blocks across there. And so I went over to see what it was. I thought, man, when did aerospace engineering, you know, get a new building on this side of campus or whatever? Do you know what that big thing is? I mean, it looks like the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum.
You're talking about the new Student Activity Center?
It just basically said PE or whatever. It was like physical education. It had, yeah, it had a bunch of like exercise equipment in it and everything.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was the nicest looking building on campus, and it's the Student Activity Center.
Yeah.
Good.
It's palatial.
What software inventor died?
I think it's been a lot of fundraising going into that, and some fees on students too, I think.
Well, if it came from fees, I understand why tuition is what it is now, because that looked like the most expensive building on the campus. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. We did go in the new Coliseum, the Auburn Arena, and
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. I love the little museum area. It was so much over there. Mm-hmm. We didn't even have time to look at it all. If I had realized there was so much there, I would have spared an extra half hour or so just for that. But we kind of had to run through it real quickly. But that's fantastic too. And the whole campus, they've landscaped everything. The all the stuff I always used to wish they would have done, they finally did. Like totally make thatch into a sidewalk and not a street, and get the big planters out of the way, you know, and landscape the concourse. Cause you know, the concourse used to be like kind of nice. And then it would just kind of end in this alley or something.
Yep.
And now it's just this nice, they got gates up there on Magnolia. So everything I kind of always wished that they would do with the campus to make it look nicer, it looks like somebody wrote a check and they did it, and it just looks so much better.
They spent the money on that.
They sure did.
What did you think about the sea of rental tailgating areas over near the Eagle cages?
I don't think we went over there. We kind of went a diagonal line up.
You had to see it if you went to the student union, though, I think.
Yeah. Maybe so.
All the uniform tents spread out across there.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the deal with that? Tell me about that, because I don't know.
I mean, it's something that sprung up years ago where basically you pay money for one of those, your group or club or whatever reserves it, and then that's your tailgating spot, and you go there, and each of them has picnic tables and chairs, and most you can get a TV with a satellite hookup and watch the games. You can bring your own food or get food delivered. And so people, you know, and I understand it if you got a bunch of fans and you live in Atlanta or Birmingham or further away, and you don't have time to come, because normally what people do with tailgate spots is come Friday and reserve them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come mark off your area Friday at a certain time in the afternoon. And so these are all, you know, people are doing it for money. And so I understand it for those people that live, you know, further away and can't get near Auburn, but they have the resources to do it. But it's also an area that used to be a big, you know, green space, and you know, people could just come there and tailgate however they wanted, kind of. And now it's all this uniform thing. But the other thing is, I mean, there's a lot of tailgating that goes on at Auburn. I think it's very civil. I think people are very friendly to each other. I think we're very friendly to visiting fans for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have as much a problem with it. It's you know, my parents are old school tailgaters, and they've been tailgating in the same area in your Sewell for a long time. So I'm kind of more sympathetic to people who are doing that. But I really appreciate, you know, how they've handled the campus in terms of allowing people to come on this year. I think the parking is better. The crowd control getting out is pretty good. Compared to other schools, we have a great areas to tailgate in. I've been to a lot of their campuses where, You know, they didn't have the same kind of land around the stadium for people to tailgate at. And I appreciate it. It's a great thing we have at Auburn. We should really enjoy it.
Yeah, the thing that worked out really well for us, we got there like 10 o'clock in the morning for like a 6:30 game. And so we were able to just pull off the side. I mean, there was so much of parking available right, you know, outside of campus that I was sure I was parking in an illegal zone. Because mm-hmm. I thought if this was a legal zone, there should be cars here. But it's funny because I pulled over into it and paused just to kind of see. And while I was sitting there, like six more cars came flying up and parked past me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out and asked the guy, can we park here? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. And I'm like, dang, we got the best spot. So it worked out really well. But see, we used to park a lot closer. I went years parking in the library parking deck right after they built it. And those days seem to be long gone. So, and you know, my parents, talking about your parents, my parents have tailgated there for, you know, for years and years and years too. But they end up getting moved like every 3 or 4 years because something else gets torn down or gets bulldozed. And that was their spot and they have to move to another spot and then it gets bulldozed. You know, they're to the point now of parking like in Alexander City and taking the bus basically, you know. So it's kind of ridiculous, but yeah. Well, I know I'm happy. I've heard a lot of mixed talk about the new plan that they put into effect. You know, some people are like, oh, it's much better. Others like this is just cosmetic change. Do you have any sense, or do you, from your parents, you get any sense of that?
From a personal perspective, I know we got much closer parking spaces because they allowed some people to park on the grass in areas they wouldn't before. So that helped me individually when we went to the first game. But so I think in that sense, people are happy with it.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to hear from other people, you know, send us an email or contact us on Twitter. I'll let you know what you think about the tailgating rules. We're interested in that.
Yeah, that's good. I'd like to hear. You're listening to the Wishbone Podcast with Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network and the WarEagleReader.com. John, why don't we look around the SEC at what happened last week and then maybe next week, this coming week. And I think that maybe for last week, we should – I'm going to start hitching up my pants, chewing my gum frantically, and pointing at the ground. And you know what that means. It's
time for the hurry up.
It is time for the hurry up, no huddle with quieter bell action. people are immediately like hitting the pause button or eject. You know, they're like
turning down the volume.
Delete. Done. Moving on to all belicious now.
please do not wreck your vehicle due to the sound of the bell.
That's right. No, I have. We are no longer creating Quasimodos. I have turned the bells down. So, and I saved that file, so we're good. All right. So, as always with the hurry up, no huddle, there's absolutely no planning or forethought that goes into this. And so John and I are just doing the best we can to pull this stuff out of the air. So, let's do like a couple for each. Last week, Georgia, LSU in, as the solid verbal would put it, a shootout. What did you think?
I didn't know we were dinging yet. Having seen Auburn play against LSU, you know, I saw LSU was pretty much equal to Georgia.
LSU really underwhelmed me. They just did not look like the LSU of old or the new super fancy LSU on offense.
Well, LSU's defense certainly isn't the LSU of old. I mean, they're another SEC team that they're, you know, far worse than they were 2 years ago.
Well, LSU has this awesome running back that just made it look like a Sherman tank running over us. What happened to him against Georgia? Is Georgia's run defense that good or what?
I think Georgia's run defense is pretty good. I think they have a lot of young guys, but I think they have more talent on the run defense than we do.
Texas A&M, Arkansas. Were you expecting a woo-woo-woo shootout in that game?
I was expecting a one-way shootout. I thought It would be, you know,
an unarmed opponent.
Which would be more like an ambush, I guess. I was expecting more like Texas A&M last year, where, you know, when put up one of these 50-20 kind of games.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I was expecting the school marm walks into OK Corral and gets gunned down by a Gatling gun in the back of a wagon, if that's graphic enough for you.
But I mean, the other side is Manziel put up big numbers again. I mean, you like him or not, and that guy is very productive. He's the single most productive SEC player in offense, and he tore Arkansas up.
We're gonna keep it going. What was it about? Was can we put all the indictment on the Texas A&M defense, or what can we say about the Arkansas offense that made that happen?
Brandon Allen coming back was all the difference. Without him, their offense is lost. The other thing is they have a really great freshman running back, Alex Collins. That's a name you're going to keep hearing.
Tennessee almost lost to the mighty Jaguars of South Alabama. They had to hold on. I can't imagine that the seat is too comfortable up in Rocky Top right now.
The biggest thing with them is their quarterbacks are awful. And if you saw the first half of the Florida game, you know what I'm talking about. They are really a train wreck at passing the ball, and it didn't get any better last weekend.
And finally, and you can revisit any of these if you want to now that we're about to end the hurry up, but South Carolina, Central Florida, was that what you expected?
I warned you last week, Central Florida is not bad.
Yes, you did. All right, we will stop hitching the pants, chewing the gum, and pointing at the ground now. Any of that you want to revisit? You were about to say something else about South Carolina, so go ahead. You can be expansive now.
Okay. Well, sorry. Central Florida was beating South Carolina at halftime, and South Carolina came back and took control of the game the second half and won. They kind of ran it down their throats.
Yeah.
But the other part is South Carolina's quarterback got hurt in that game, Shaw, and he's going to miss a few weeks, so that'll hurt them. But Central Florida's not bad.
No.
I mean, they're not a bad team. That was another good win for South Carolina, but it'll be interesting to see if losing him comes back. They have the backup quarterback played a lot last year, Dylan Thompson, I think his name is, and it'll be interesting to see if that comes back and bites them in a game the next couple of weeks, though.
Central Florida makes me think about Ted Roof, which makes me think about Georgia Tech, which confuses me and makes me realize that Ted Roof has coached at no fewer than 17 institutions since Auburn 2011. What?
No, he hasn't.
16. All right. This up. Yes. What? Yes.
He was on TV last Thursday night against Virginia Tech. In case you missed
that. Hey. Speaking of which, Virginia Tech got that big win. What did you think about Scott the Leflerama?
They won despite him. I mean, they won that game because their defense shut down Georgia Tech. It wasn't anything Leffler's offense did.
And their quarterback just bowled his way around. He looked like Mississippi State's quarterback against us, basically trying to win the game on his own, it seemed like.
Or like Kyle Frazier.
There you go. All right. Upcoming games. There's really not a tasty, tasty morsel of the caliber we've had a couple of weeks this time, other than our game, of course, which is always going to be a primetime extravaganza. But we have kind of some that in some years would be very good. This year, kind of a little meh. Let me run through them real quick, and then we can talk about them. Georgia-Tennessee, that's a marquee matchup, except that Tennessee, you know, is what they are. So that's kind of disappointing. Arkansas at Florida. If it was Florida at Arkansas, I'd think, hey, you know, there might – we might see an interesting match of the Arkansas running game against that Florida defense. But at Florida, I just think Arkansas is going nowhere fast. LSU at Mississippi State. I feel like LSU is going to want to open up a can to really get retribution and make themselves feel better. Missouri at Vandy, I really don't care. And Kentucky at South Carolina, why would we even talk about it? So your thoughts on those contests?
Missouri so far, sneaky good. I think they're playing better than last year. And it'd be interesting to see how they do. I think they might beat Vandy this weekend.
I have to admit, when I stop and think about how Vandy's doing right now, I watched the Ole Miss-Vandy game almost in its entirety at the beginning of the season. And then I know they – didn't they lose another one maybe? And then I just kind of lost all interest in Vanderbilt once they had, I think, lost a couple of games. So I don't know what their situation is at all right now. What I mean, have they won anything or I don't even
– Their coach is a hot rumor topic for
Southern Cal.
Southern Cal.
Yeah.
No, they did. They lost at South Carolina 35-25.
Yeah.
So that they have three wins over Austin Peay, UMass, and UAB.
There you go.
So here's their schedule coming up the next.
They played two real teams and lost. So they're 2-3.
That's right.
3-2. Okay.
So they got Missouri, then Georgia. At Texas A&M, at Florida.
Oh, Lord.
So that's the next 4 weeks for them. So we'll know a lot more about Vanderbilt.
I believe you and I said back at the before the season started that Vanderbilt could be better than last year and still have a crappy season. And I think that's what's going
to happen. That's right.
That's what's
I think you're exactly right. The thing about the SEC this weekend, you're right, there's no marquee game. But the thing I would point to is after those big hype games like the Georgia-LSU game, it is perfectly natural to have a letdown, and I expect both Georgia and LSU to win, but I think they're both going to go into those games and play crappy.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a hangover. They're not going to play at the same level they played against each other. I think they're going to go into those games and kind of slog around and win, but both will be closer than they should be.
But fortunately for Georgia, their letdown comes at Tennessee, so they'll still win. Yeah. And they'll win in double digits, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the Arkansas-Florida game would be interesting to watch. Florida, lost easily one of their best defensive players this week to injury for the season, so that's tough for them. But it'd be interesting to see how Florida does. I mean, how Arkansas does against Florida. And Florida's offense is not good. But so they could really in this game could be 17-9 or something like that.
Oh, exciting. Well,
yeah, there you go.
Well, I just find it hard to imagine that a team that A was built to be air piggy under Petrino and then suffered the 1 year meltdown under
John L. Smith.
John Witness Protection System Smith is now suddenly Wisconsin South.
Hey, Beavis. What? Let's go fishing.
I mean, I expected that it would take them a little while to make that transition.
It will. They're not there. I mean, they're not nearly as good a running team as they're going to be in a couple of years. But they have good running backs, and Allen's not a bad quarterback. The receivers is where it's really changed. I mean, they do not have the same kind of guys they had as when they, 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the big drop-off is.
All right. Well, we're right at an hour, give or take, depending on how many of our wacky mess-ups I have to delete out. Any other last thoughts as we head into Ole Miss week before we wrap up for the evening?
No, I mean, I just think it's a game that, at home, I think it's going to be very competitive. I think Auburn's got a real shot. They got to not turn the ball over. And I think, keep trying to run the ball. I think in the second half, they could, have some real success against Ole Miss. I think, Ole Miss is going to move the ball in this Auburn defense, and they're going to score points. The biggest thing is that, we talked about the Auburn defense starting slow. We can't, afford to get down 20 points to this team.
Will both teams run the hurry up, no huddle at anything approaching full speed?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's like we talked about. I think it's a weapon to be used against other teams. They'll use it at times, but I think neither team will go as fast as they can.
Yeah. Who scores Auburn's first touchdown?
It's like a Super Bowl prop bet, you're saying. I'm going to say Sammy Coates.
Ah, okay. I'm going to say Trey Mason.
All right.
Very good. All right. Well, contact us via Twitter at AU Wishbone or at Van Allen Plexco or at JK Ringer. We enjoyed seeing your comments and questions this week and hope we caught everybody and got them on the air. You can email the show at auwishbone@gmail.com. I wanted to give out a special thanks, and I kind of forgot last week, to Auburn Elvis, because Auburn Elvis created the cool Gus AU meters that are modeled on the Knight Rider dashboard, and he created one for every possible point combination, basically. So I really appreciate him doing that. It saved me a lot of time in a fall when I've been extremely busy with family stuff and other things. So really appreciate Auburn Elvis doing that. Don't forget to take a look at Decades of Dominance and Season of Our Dreams, our two books that are out there on Amazon and in bookstores in Auburn and around. I think that, in fact, that the AU bookstore in Haley Center probably still has some copies that we both signed, because I signed a bunch of the ones you had signed.
I believe so.
So, yeah, you can get both of our signatures in it. So, all right, well, our time is up, and as always, we thank you for yours, John. War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.